All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and the lines are open for you to call in and for you to send your question through SMS. As the questions are coming in, we're very ready to read them and give answers. Okay, we have this, and this is coming from Abraham from Yola, Nigeria. It says, Shalom, Pastor. In our prayer group, I used to cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a particular sister that we prayed for, and the demons refused to go. That she belonged to them, and that uncle and grandparents sent them to come and kill her. Okay, our uncle and grandparents sent them to come and kill her, and they will not go. I then taught her about repentance and correct water baptism. After that, she agreed. Still the demon resisted. I even fasted 3 days and prayed again. Yet it refused to go. And even me, I feel okay. I'm being attacked by those powers. What can you advise scripturally? And this is Brother Abraham from Yola.
Well, first and foremost, Brother Abraham, Satan is a liar. How many seconds does it take to kill a human being? The fact that she's still alive, and they are telling you they have sent her. Is it that very moment they came to kill her? That simply means they have no power over her life. So assure her that, so that she's not afraid. Secondly, if you cast out any demon and it refuses to go, you have fasted and the demon refuses to go, you have made her to confess Christ, and the demon refuses to go, then you change your prayer point to ask the Lord to have mercy upon that vessel. Begin to pray continually, ask for mercy, so that God may be wanting to take glory concerning that lady, so that you will not boast that you are the one that cast out that spirit by your power. So change your prayer point and keep asking God to have mercy upon her. Have mercy upon her. It has happened to me, and it's based on experience I am sharing with you. So if it doesn't go, then call some other brethren to join faith with you, and certainly it will go. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Abraham from Yola. God bless you. And I believe whoever and any other person having such cases or similarity, you've gotten a direction from experience. And definitely, when it's coming from someone who has been several years in the scripture, in the ministry, I think you should take that seriously. Okay, so we have other questions coming in, and this is coming from Edo State. All right, say good evening, Brother Moses Aldo and Brother Godson, and we say good evening to you and shalom to you as well. And Brother Williams from Uromi, Edo State. Concerning the mystery of iniquity, if the fruit that they ate was listening to the serpent, how did Cain come about, and the serpent seeds? I really need clarification, sir. Thank you.
I want you to listen. I'm not sure this brother has listened to me.
There is a probably listened, but was a bit confused.
I said it is because they listened. That's why they did what they did. The sin they committed was listening to the serpent. And it is because they listened and digested the fruit of the knowledge of good and the evil. They listened to intellectualism, reasoning, instead of just holding on to the word of God. Don't reason the word of God. You obey the word of God. They listen to serpent trying to explain that, and in the course of it inject his own no, you will not die, you know. And so that was why. And after they did it, among the things that they learned from that knowledge is now about their sexual organs. So that is why we say the original sin, it's not fornication, it is listening. And I can see, you know, you see the way Apostle Paul put it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11,
okay,
verse 2 and verse 3.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Now watch as he goes back to the Garden of Eden.
Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Then verse 4 makes you understand what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
See, he's preaching another Jesus.
Whom we have not preached.
Uh-huh.
Or if ye receive another spirit
uh-huh,
which ye have not received.
Yes.
Or another gospel.
The serpent preached another gospel.
Mm.
Yes.
Which ye have not accepted, mm-hmm, ye might well bear with him.
That's why in verse 13 of that same scripture,
verse 13 says, for such are false apostles.
Such that speak and deceive people, beguile the true children of God, the church. Uh-huh.
False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Yes.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
So if you study, you know that you can get a picture of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Fornication. So you say what came about the serpent seed and things like that. Yes, it's a product of the fornication. But they had it. If they did not go to listen to it, they wouldn't have done it. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, our brother from Romy. I believe that makes it clear mystery of iniquity. And for anyone who might still need something clearer, you can visit our archive. Definitely, all with the messages are available on the website, the church website, brighttv.org/downloads, or even on YouTube and every other social media platforms that we have. All right. We have other questions coming in. And as questions come in, and this is from Kaduna State, Nigeria. Shalom, Pastor Moses, more grace and revelation. Say amen to that. I agree, according to the history and revelation, that Martin Luther started the shout. My questions are we still on the shout? When the voice of an archangel and the trump... Okay, one is, are we still on the shout? And then two is, when will the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, when will it sound? And then three is Revelation 10:7 fulfilled? If yes, who fulfills it? Brother Peter from Kashia, Kaduna State. So question one, are we still on the shout, from Brother Peter?
Yes. The shout, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable in Mark chapter 4. Maybe a brother is just coming across us.
Yeah, possible.
Because we've spoken this over and over again. If God opens your eyes to see Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
Yes.
Now, you will notice something here. Maybe read it.
Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
From verse 26.
From verse 26.
For the sake of those who may just be coming.
Okay, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day.
That seed is the church.
Mm.
It's a parable for the kingdom of the church of Jesus Christ, what it will go through.
Okay.
And by the time that this parable comes up, this parable is actually seal number three.
Okay.
Seal number three, the black horse rider of Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. That is the except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Because unless you bring this parable, bring it, in fact, this is the order. You go to the first parable, the first parable that you want to get the picture is Matthew 13 and verse 33, the three works of grace, the three measures of meal, the level was taken and mixed with it.
Yeah.
And that is in verse 33.
Yes.
Now, so until the whole meal was corrupted, that is the meal of salvation, the word of God, the total doctrine of the word of God, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now, Christ himself said, except a corner will fall to the ground and die, abides alone.
Yeah.
So, now that the church is the seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost,
amen,
God allowed it to die at Nicaea 83:25 when the mixture of paganism and Christianity mixed with the three works of grace, and they were converted to something else, and then to the Catholic doctrines and the Roman, as the Roman Church was and is still known by. And the whole process of salvation died. The Word of God died that sent the church into the dark ages, yes, because the Word is a lamp, yes, it's a light.
Yes,
so no more Word, no more light.
Yes,
that takes us to the dark ages, yes, which is what is represented by the black
horse
rider. Now, but it was at midnight that the cry was made. You know, behold the bridegroom cometh, go ye out. You are going out from somewhere.
Yes,
that is when the church began to respond.
Amen.
By trimming their revelations.
Amen.
And the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, they all arose.
Yes,
remember that it was all both the wise virgin and the foolish virgins.
Yes.
They all arose. Now I want you to note that when they came out, that it is that same midnight cry that Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and chapter 4 verse 16 is talking about. He said the Lord himself shall descend with what? A shout. That is what our brother is referring to.
Yes, yes.
Now, and that shout was the word of God that was buried, dead. These three works of grace.
Yes.
These three works of grace that pulled out. I mean, that was killed. And now they're now going to come out of the dark ages. They shout, we bring out justification.
Yes, sir.
When justification come out, that same shout continues to sanctification. It, because you have to move. Where are you moving to? The shout is moving until they meet the bridegroom, the rapture, and those are the stages there.
Amen.
Now in verse 44, you see Luther there in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 45, you see the second work of grace, sanctification. And in verse 47, you see Pentecost.
Baptism,
you know, and then after that, the separation, and then the rapture takes place.
Amen.
So, what is the question again? The
question is, are we still in the shout?
We are still in the shout because the fruit is not yet produced.
Amen. Amen. Okay, question two from our brother Bra Peter from Kaduna State says, when will the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, that is, when will it sound?
When Christ leaves the mercy seat,
okay,
according to Revelation chapter 10,
okay,
he will leave the mercy seat, no more mercy, and now he has finished preaching to the bride, the living elements of the bride, then he will go to the dead in Christ. And that is why the seven thunders will sound, which is the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel in Revelation chapter 10 produces the seven thunder ministry that is sounded to the dead in Christ. The last stages before the rapture takes place, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are alive, will be changed in a moment and caught up and be with the Lord in the air. So this is when he leaves. Now tell me, when will he leave? When the last elect comes in.
And
only he knows who.
Amen. All right, question three was referring to Revelation 10:7, and that was asking, is Revelation 10:7 fulfilled? If yes, who fulfilled it?
What does Revelation 10:7 say?
Say, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets.
When he sounds, what will happen?
When he begins to sound,
what
the
happened?
Mystery of God should be finished.
Now, first you have to get what is this mystery, and I've taken it extensively in a message.
Yes, sir.
The mystery of God, it is the salvation process.
Mm-hmm.
The salvation process,
yes, sir,
should be rounding up.
Mm-hmm.
What is this salvation process? Is that Christ finally comes and takes over the kingdom. Look at it here. This is the mystery in Daniel, sorry.
Okay.
Daniel chapter number 2.
Okay.
The dream of
King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he got to this stage in verse 34.
Okay, Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. And he said, thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands.
Yes.
We smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces.
That's talking about the last kingdom of the four kingdoms, which is the Roman kingdom.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together.
That is the holy image now.
And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Verse 36,
this is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king.
And he began to interpret each of the stages of that image. And when he comes to verse 44,
and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Verse 45,
For as much, as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass year after, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure.
That is what is known as the times of the Gentiles. The period that these four kingdoms, God showed Nebuchadnezzar this dream, Daniel interpreted it to mean the four kingdoms that will come.
Okay.
The first one is Babylon, the second one is Medo-Persia, the third one is Grecian Empire, and the fourth one is the Roman Empire. So he's saying that it is in the days of the days of the kings.
Okay, the kings.
The Roman Empire, the last part of that image is the Roman Empire, the fourth empire. That God himself will come and smash that kingdom, smash everything about it, and establish his own kingdom. So this is what is a mystery.
Okay.
It is this mystery where he, God, allowed these kings and this kingdom to rule the earth. And of course, it is a mystery also within this period is the mystery of redemption taking place. What happened in the Garden of
Eden,
that man lost, Adam lost authority, lost everything to Satan. There's a mystery of redemption that will involve the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent that will culminate into the seed of the woman bruising his head. This is what you see depicted in Daniel chapter 2. And so, but this will happen in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Which seventh angel? If there are seven angels, then there are six. If there's a seventh one, then there are six others. So where do we get it? In chapter 8.
Okay. Revelation chapter 8.
Read from verse 1 to verse 3.
Okay, from verse 1 to verse 3, Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets.
How many angels?
Seven angels.
How many angels?
Seven angels.
Seven angels. That were given seven trumpets. Go to verse 6.
Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood.
Verse 8.
Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea.
Verse 10.
Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven burning as...
Verse 12.
Okay, verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the
chapter 9.
Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth.
Verse 13.
Says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the from the four horns of the
golden. Which angel sounded?
The sixth angel.
Go to chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
Verse 7. What does it say?
Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
That is the seventh trumpet angel. When does it sound? Mm. Chapter 11. What will happen? What will happen?
When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servant.
Let's see when it sounded in chapter 11.
Okay, chapter 11.
Verse 15.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
So you can see that,
referring to Daniel,
that same scripture. Now the kingdom has now become the kingdom of our Lord.
Yes,
that mystery is finished at the sounding of the seventh angel. So what is his question again?
It was asking if it was fulfilled, and if it was fulfilled, by who? Who fulfilled it?
Read it again.
Is Revelation 10:7 fulfilled? If yes, who fulfilled it?
Okay, so I hope I have answered that. Any other question for him?
No, that was the last question.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you, brother, for your question. Okay, we have a call, and this is Brother Merritt from London. Brother Merritt, God bless you and shalom.
Hello, Pastor.
God bless you, Brother Merritt. You can go on. Yes, sir.
Okay. I've got a controversial question from my friend here.
Okay.
So we're trying to get a little bit of a clarification on two different verses in the Bible.
On who is what, sir?
Okay. The first verse is James chapter 1, verse 13.
Okay.
James 1, verse 13.
Yes. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And then the next verse is Genesis chapter 22, verse 1.
Okay. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Okay? What's your question, sir?
So the question is that God tempted Abraham, and in the book of James, it says that God cannot tempt man.
Okay.
Now you will notice it's not a contradiction, Brother Merritt. In James chapter 1, watch it. He says, let no man, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, the next statement, for God cannot be tempted with evil. God cannot tempt you to sin. So the word tempted there, you have to get it in the context of that verse. Tempted here is that God cannot push you to go and commit evil, because it will be pushing to do things against him. But God can test your faith. And that is the usage of the word tempt in Genesis. Chapter 22 of Genesis. It can test your faith. So we have to apply it in the context that it is used.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much.
God bless.
All right. God bless you, Brother Merritt. God bless you. So as other questions are coming in, yes, you can send in your question. Okay. All right. This is from Sister Uti from Calabar, Nigeria. Shalom, sir. Please, is it correct for the wife of the pastor to keep church money and be in control of it?
Yes, if it is their church. But the Bible church, it will be wrong. But if it is her husband and her, the business, it's a business.
Okay.
Because you call that a church, it's their family business. So who else will keep it before, if it is their business? But if it is truly a public place, then it must be run with all transparency and be run as a public place. It's supposed to have a constitution. And if the constitution permits the wife to do that, then you now know why they do that. It's unscriptural. For that is the job of a deacon. And so and a woman cannot be a deacon in a church. So why will she be the one to keep the money? God bless you.
All right, question 2 from Sister Uti. Question two, okay, Sister Uti from Calabar, Nigeria says, is it also correct for them to be using it to eat each time and can give and can't give any or can give any account of it? Probably wanted to say can't give any account
Stop
of it.
Stop challenging people in their personal business. If there's a personal business, they are running like a personal business, so they give account to themselves, so they have not money to give account to.
Okay.
That is why Nigerian government established the Kama law, and people like that will kick against it because it will check the way they use public fund. It's fraud. That is fraud. It's fraud that you go and let the government give you a non-for-profit license to register you and give you permission to gather the public and receive funds for them for the purpose of ministry work, and then you cannot account for it to them. So when the government saw that that was going on, they needed to put a check on it. They can't give you license to go register you as a non-profit organization and then you are living on it, and it's fraud. In fact, it's only in countries like Nigeria that that is even possible, because our check and balances, the check system here is very, very poor. So when the government tried to put that law, they politicized it, but they were correct. That is what happens in every advanced country. You must show what you are doing with the money. If not, it's a fraud. You saw what happened to big men, let me not call names, including those in Ukraine and those in South Korea, and even in America, what they do with public funds.
UK.
Even the United Kingdom, you heard the story of how some of them had to run back to Nigeria here, those of them who have some big churches there. Nigerians, for instance, they ran here quickly because they know they can do everything here, nothing will happen. You know, so it's wrong. You're not putting that way. It's wrong.
All right. So the caller, this is coming from Delta State, Sister Gbera. All right, God bless you, our sister. Please go on with your question. Shalom.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
God bless you. You're welcome.
My question goes like this, sir. So, you know, Pastor said that if you have a husband that you have a children for, you should not need the house. But when I told this man to save my marriage, and he saying that God knows that we are in sin. So why am I asking why he does not have money to pay this marriage? So I was confused. In that confusion, God gave me two scriptures. One is Romans 6, verse 1. The other one is Romans 2, Romans 12, verse 1. So as I was meditating upon these two scriptures, and I don't know how to read, but that day, God give me this, how to read this two scriptures. So, I was confused. So, I don't know what to do.
Romans chapter 6 verse 1.
Romans 6 verse 1 says...
Romans 12 verse 1. Give me this two scriptures.
Okay, Romans 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Romans 12 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, so what's your question?
Well, my question now, so in this scripture, I see that this scripture condemns me. Can I keep continuing this marriage where this man don't want to pay my marriage?
Of course, if he doesn't want to pay your bride price, and it simply means he's not ready to marry you. And that's why God was giving you these two scriptures.
Okay, thank you.
That is simple. Simple. That means he never wants to marry you. That's the truth.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, our sister from Delta State, Nigeria. And God bless you for calling in to ask that biblical question. Okay, we have this question coming from Ghana. This is Anita from Ghana. It says, Shalom, sir. Please, what is a New Testament covenant?
What is the New Testament
covenant?
The New Testament covenant is Matthew chapter 26 from verse 26.
Matthew 26 from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission
Testament
of sins."
Testament means covenant.
Okay.
So, it is the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That is the new covenant.
Okay.
You get the question correct?
Yes, the question is, what is the New Testament covenant?
What is the New
Testament covenant?
Yes. In Hebrew,
okay,
chapter 8. Now, if you read from verse 7.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 7.
Yes.
"For if that first covenant
the
had
first
been faultless,
covenant, yes,
then should no place have been sought for the second.
Uh-huh.
For finding fault with them, he said,
uh-huh,
behold, the days come, saith the Lord,
mm-hmm,
when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, yes, and with the house of Judah.
Yes.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant,
mm-hmm,
and I regarded them not, saith the Lord."
Verse 10.
Verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people."
And then verse 13.
Verse 13. In that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
So, what is the new covenant? Is that the question?
Yes. What is the New Testament covenant?
The New Testament covenant. So many scriptures to read. I don't know. Are you a Muslim?
It's possible.
I don't know. What is the New
Testament covenant?
What is the New Testament covenant? It's a covenant that God had for the purpose of our salvation,
mm,
that he sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The payment of our price for redemption with the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the New Testament covenant. Let me just give you one more scripture, Romans chapter 10.
Okay.
Well, let me just read one verse, verse 4.
Okay, Romans 10 verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law,
yes,
for righteousness to everyone that believeth."
Uh-huh. "For Christ is the end of the law," Old Testament,
okay,
"for righteousness,"
okay,
"to everyone that believeth," because Christ came,
mm,
to annul that and establish a new covenant.
Mm. Amen.
So that is the new covenant. That is the New Testament.
Okay.
That is what Christianity is all about. Okay. The Old Testament,
okay,
the sins were remitted by the sacrificial lamb.
Lamb, okay.
But in the New Testament, Christ is the Lamb of God that taken away the sin. That's why I say, too many, which one will I quote for? Are you a Kankah or a Muslim, mm, or Hindu?
Mm.
Every Christian knows that, even in Sunday school,
mm,
children's Sunday school.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, God bless you. So, okay, we have a call, and that is Brother John Kayode from Oyo State. Brother John, God bless you.
Shalom, Pastor.
God bless you, Brother John.
God bless you, real good, sir.
Mm.
Sir, my question is this. During the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ,
okay,
it doesn't take him so many minutes before casting out demons.
Okay.
And as also seen in the Act of Apostles, chapter 3 and chapter 16, I want to ask, sir, what is the problem, or what could be the problem, that a devil could not be cast out for about 1 year by a pastor?
The same question is what we see in Matthew chapter 17.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know the story? Maybe we'll read it from verse 14.
From verse 14, Matthew chapter 17 from verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him."
They could not cure him. They could not cast out that demon.
"Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me."
So upon all he has been teaching you, upon everything he has been telling you, You can't get it. Bring him.
And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart.
And they are asking the question that Brother Kayode, you are asking now.
And said, why could not we cast him out?
And what did he say?
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief.
It's faithlessness first. You had no faith. You were casting out that spirit, but you didn't have faith.
For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed,
yes,
ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and ye shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Verse 21.
Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.
So, Brakayo, are you still on?
I'm still on. I'm listening, sir.
Thank you very much. Now, so you can see that one of the reasons that certain demons cannot be cast out, one of the reasons is because we have no faith. Secondly, it is because you are going to cast out spirit, you are too much in the flesh. You must be one that is given to prayer regularly and fasting regularly. We're not talking about the type of fasting that you die. It is that you are more in the spirit than in the flesh. You know, one that will lay constantly, regularly in God's presence, acquire virtue. That when you meet a demon, it goes. So, but even if you have faith and your spirit man is low, you will find it difficult to cast out certain spirits. Remember, we are all given that authority to cast out spirits. This sign shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out demons, devils. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
God bless you. Faithlessness.
God bless you, sir.
So pray that God will increase your faith, and also pray that God will give you grace to lay in his presence more regularly than some of us do. And Brother John Kyle, it has happened to me.
My second question, sir.
Okay.
Should a minister of God, because of inability to cast this devil, should he say that person shouldn't come to church any longer?
Since you cannot
because
cast
the
out
person,
the spirit.
The person that was concerned told me that because of this problem, that pastor decided that she shouldn't come to church any longer because she is troublesome to him.
No, don't mind him. It's evidence there's something wrong with his faith. See how faithless he has gone. It's not by driving away. Jesus never drove any problem away. You cannot be a servant of Jesus and a problem is coming to you, for which reason he has called you, ordained you, and the problem is coming and you are running away. It should be demon that will run away from you. In my assembly here, they run away. They will not come back. When we beg them, they will not come back. Because we will not give up. We will continue. If we don't go today, tomorrow you will go. We will guard that. We will do all we know till that spirit leaves you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. He's afraid. He thinks that thing is disgracing him. And that is pride. That is wrong.
I wonder.
That is wrong.
All right. God bless you, brother. Kayode. And God bless you, sir.
Kayode, can you hear me? Oh, I've lost that call. Okay, go ahead.
All right, still further to that question, I want to ask from this angle, could we say there's some persons who want to say that grace differs? You hear certain of such languages among certain
ministers. I've just read scripture. I don't know where they get that from.
So that's business.
He has answered it. They asked Jesus, why? He says, because of your faithlessness.
Okay.
So, and it's true now, that means you have no faith. He says, if you don't have it, as little as most. As a mustard seed.
Okay.
You will tell this mountain to move. So which one is grace differ again? It's faith that differs. Okay. One has faith, the other doesn't have faith.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Then also still in this respect, there's this category of, because as we interact with a lot of people, ministers and things, we get to hear things. There's this also category of people who say that, you see, could it be that in all the whole sweating, praying and everything and shouting, and quoting scripture, faith is still missing. As small as a mustard seed.
Well, I've just read scripture to you. You see, we're here to answer question by the scripture.
By scripture.
It's by scripture. ask for more faith. Mm-hmm. That's all.
So that scripture has given the answer to as many that might have been thinking.
Of course, that I do know well. That Romans chapter number 12 okay. also made a statement here that we should not just overlook. Okay. Now it said something here, verse 3.
Okay, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us.
That is why the question came up.
Okay.
According to the grace given to us.
Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Proportion of faith.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry.
So you are supposed to acknowledge the level of the flow of your faith. You're supposed to know where your faith reach.
Okay.
And operate within that. That's what 1 Peter chapter 4 is also saying.
Okay, 1 Peter
4 verse 10 and verse 11.
Chapter 4, 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Mm-hmm. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Mm-hmm. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever.
So maybe that's where your question comes in. Grace differs. That's what you mean. Maybe that's what they read. Say grace.
Make that statement.
Yeah, you know, but I had an experience one time.
Okay.
You know, I gave that testimony. It's a known testimony. I had to my shame, you know, say what I'm telling you now, you know, to the church. It was a real rebuke to me.
Okay.
And that in my own case, it's not even in my own case, it's a very more a more serious case.
Okay.
You know, that's why I had to really say to my shame.
Okay.
On Sunday, I was at the altar and I saw a young girl walking with crutches. This is a four-legged crutches. I don't know what they call it. She couldn't walk, so I think, you know, something was wrong with the legs. And I was at the altar and I said, today is Sunday, why are they bringing a sick person? I felt they're coming to disturb us later after service. We should be praying for them. And I said, we have our healing service every Tuesday. Why coming today? I continued my ministration. We are worshiping God. And at the stage, the Lord spoke to me. Go and speak to that girl and she will walk. Now you see where faithlessness is coming. And I was battling. If I go, she doesn't walk. If I go and she doesn't walk, because the way I received, I was supposed to have stopped the song worship and then go there and tell that girl, stand up and walk. You see? So I decided to go another way so that if she doesn't walk, I will not be faithlessness. But I walked there, I met her on that confidence that God told me. And I prayed for her. And she stood up and she walked. And I felt very ashamed of myself. You see, that it was time for the name of the Lord to be glorified. My faithlessness. You know, when God said, do something, just do it. Now, some truth may not be God telling you, but that this is a serious case before you. You know, attacking by the authority you know you have, the authority of the word of God. So from that day, I have repented. Especially when I hear from God, I see a revelation concerning your problem, I go boldly because I know there will be answer.
Amen.
And when you do that, also the grace increases and you are seeing what is manifesting in my ministry.
Amen. All right, God bless you. So we have other questions coming in. Okay, this is from Ghana, and this says, Shalom, Pastor. I am Brother Jedidiah from Ghana. I joined the Bride Assembly Church last month from Deeper Life. I want to ask that after the correct water baptism, is it that I pray for sanctification before the Holy Spirit baptism as taught in Deeper Life, or pray directly for the Holy Spirit baptism?
After what?
After correct water baptism. After correct water baptism, does he pray for sanctification before then pray for the baptism?
No, it's the Holy Spirit that will sanctify you anyway. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Quite all right. entering that blood, entering the water, you know, washes away your sin. That is sanctification process. You know, then of course the hearing of the word further cleanses you by the water of the word. Then you now pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to Luke chapter 11 and verse 13.
Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, and it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Ask, it shall be given to you.
Amen.
And avail yourself of all Holy Ghost baptism programs we hold here, or any ministry you know around you holds. When this brother says he left Deeper Life to join Bride Assembly Church in Ghana, I don't know which Bride Assembly Church in Ghana you refer to.
Maybe he joined online.
Is it online? Or you mean an intermission church in Ghana? God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Our brother from Ghana.
We don't have branches, but we have sister churches.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so the questions are still coming in. Okay, we have another question. And this says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ, Pastor Moses Alu. I greet you specially for the work of our Father. It was through you I had this message, and I could not remain in my former church because the message never make me meaning to me. But now I'm getting confused from what we are taught in the same end time message. Question one, is it true that according to separation of Abraham from his father's house and 2 Corinthians 6:14 mean that we can no longer have anything to do with anybody else, even father, mother, neighbors, friends, don't even collect anything from them because they are unbelievers, that they are cursed, that if you collect from them, you are also cursed?
That error is as far from truth as east is from the west. Why do people teach such doctrines?
Okay.
Why do they do that? That is not the gospel of salvation. Abraham was asked to leave. Okay, then why did he send Eliezer to go back there again to pick a wife for himself? I think that nullifies it.
Okay.
I think that has answered
that
the question.
Answers the question.
Why did he go there? It was still that same place. Yes. Abraham sent Eliezer to go and get Rebecca for Isaac. It's wrong. It's to leave their practices, leave their traditions, leave whatever it is, the idolatry that they are part of me. All the things that they do in worshiping God, leave it. That is, come out of unbelief. Come out of unbelief. This is how Apostle Paul even put it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Who is teaching that kind of gospel for heaven's sake? Eh? What did he say? He said that we should not keep company.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes. From verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
So anybody that is a fornicator, you're walking in a car, where you are walking, are they not unbelievers? Why are you with them? Are they not unbelievers? Where you are walking, are they not unbelievers? The company you are living, are they not unbelievers? Sometimes even where you are renting is an unbeliever that owns the house. Is he a Christian that made the car you are driving? The driver that drives you up and down, is he a Christian? Are they all Christians? That is what Apostle Paul was talking here, verse 10.
Yet not all together with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
You have to leave the whole world now. When they say leave your people, that is unbelief now. So you will not mix, you will leave the whole world now. So watch what he said in verse 11.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat.
So is, in fact, I think the answer he gave has nullified that.
It, yes,
so
sir.
That teaching is wrong. It's wrong. It's their practices, their idolatry, the type of gods they worship, and all those things they do. you are to move away from them. And of course, physically he separated from them because he was going to use him in a land that his children will inherit and then to fulfill his agenda for redemption. So that is a wrong teaching. What's the second thing he was saying?
Okay, my children are attending a friend's school who asked me not to pay fees, but I was asked to pay because he is not in the message when I refused. The pastor said God's judgment is on me.
Sorry, I don't understand that. What did he say?
His children attend, okay, a friend, my children are attending a friend's school.
Okay, a friend.
A friend's school, and the friend who told him not to pay.
Yes.
But the pastor is saying he must pay. If not, that judgment will come upon him because he refused to pay.
His own pastor.
Yes, saying because he's an unbeliver.
He should reject a free of. Hey, are you sure you are before a pastor?
The pastor said God's judgment is on me. We can't go to party, no invitations to even another church. Is this really separation?
No. In fact, you should separate from him. Get out from that church. That guy is not a pastor. These are people who are causing confusion in the Christian faith. They are the ones causing confusion in Christianity. They don't know what the scripture is. They don't know what interpretation to give to scripture, and they are claiming to be leading people. To where? That's why such ministries don't prosper. That's why they don't prosper. A brother from abroad, called me one time about a church in Port Harcourt teaching that kind of gospel. They made his sister totally, to cut off from the family, cut off from everybody that they are unbelievers. Because of it, he hated anything called enter message, people associated with Abraham and doctrines and everything. And he thought everybody is like that. And then another of his brother, also in Lagos, now found this church. I was telling him, hey, come and see what we have found. And then immediately this one said, don't go near this. If you go there, we have lost you. Then he now told him, connect to their broadcast and listen to that pastor. So he had to call me personally. I was telling him, why is your own different? It's wrong. It's not one of those people the devil plants to create, confusion. It is wrong. Pay school fees, the person offered
him not
free,
to pay.
Free. Free is a blessing. And thank God for it. Don't mind him. And shine the light through to light. Your friend has not seen the gospel through you. If he blesses you with free education for your children, God will also bless him with salvation through you. God bless you.
All right, question three says, now he said, the same pastor, family deliverance is error. How can we be praying for the people who turn down the message? And I said, what of Alu? He said, when he will see it, he will turn from that error. Concerning dressing, in traditional dressing is wrong. I mean, men putting on wrapper, is it wrong? Because women also put on wrapper. Is it putting on of it belonging to women? And do and don't are many. Please explain with Bible verses. We are watching and listening to you.
Okay. They do and don't.
The do and don't are many. Please explain with Bible verses. We are watching and listening to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you one day. I love you. I love the message you have brought to me. You've brought me too. This is Benjamin from Delta State.
Benjamin from Delta State. He said,
Family deliverance is error. And then he was referring to you. He said, when you see the truth, you too, you turn it down.
But I hope him too, when he sees truth, he will reverse from all these funny teachings. That's my prayer for him too. If he believes what he's teaching is the truth, let him continue to pray for me to see it. Then I will change. But I believe strongly that he is in gross error. And let him, he's not listening to me. Many of them don't like listening to me. And they will soon tell you to stop listening to me too, because they are afraid that you will hear the truth. And then, like the colonial masters, they made mistake to send some of our fathers, political fathers, Awolo Wozik and the rest to school in UK, and then they still discovered that they are common human beings like us. So we came and fought for our independence. That was the mistake they made. Some of them, that's why they don't like you watching the bright television. They know if you listen to me, your eyes will open and you will confront them. Mm. It's wrong. Now, what we say, woman addressing of a man, addressing of a woman, we know, you know, that it is not about whether it is a wrapper or trouser, whatever it is. You know it is a fashion. You know that it is a fashion. There are traditions that tie this way. You know, yes. That's not that. But when they tie it, even where you go, you know that is a man. Mm. You know, they still dress it like a man. He wear his cap and then wear his, carry his stick and dress. Everybody knows that is a man. That's even how the king dresses. It's a tradition. But when you begin to see them dressing like trousers and all these ones, you know that's fashion. God bless you. So forget all those nonsense.
All right. God bless you. God bless you.
Leave
bless
that church. If it is through me, you saw the message, then you'll be having confusion with people like that. So better sometimes even good to even sit at home than to go to such places.
All right. We know questions are still coming in, and we just want to tell everybody, please still stay tuned. We'll go on a very short break, and when we're back, still ask the pastor.